I want to acknowledge this in case Mike can't take it out. Spectrum has begun to drill outside my window about 15 minutes ago. So if you hear that sound, that's what's happening.
And that's what you missed on Glee. Well, happy birthday, Elise Castle.
Happy birthday, Mike Jensen.
It's not my birthday yet. It was your birthday this week.
It was my birthday this week. I turned 40 years old.
Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, so this recording, I texted Mike in the beginning of the week and was like, wait, it's my birthday this weekend and I have things planned. Oops. So we're recording this a little bit earlier than we normally do, but it's not outrageous.
No. For normal humans, it's normal time. It's a little bit early for me. I did realize that I didn't warm up at all.
Me, me, mama, boo.
I know. Hopefully my voice is prepared to talk.
I don't have any buttholes.
I feel like I constantly do, and then I start to record, and I don't remember what they are. So I should be better at keeping track. What I will say is that you contacted me after we recorded last time because someone told you that Michael Patrick King actually did say the name of the next episode at the end of the mm-hmm. Writer's Room podcast. I don't know how I missed it. I listened very carefully, but somehow it just like flew by me.
You refused to acknowledge it was there.
Maybe. I don't know. Spoilers.
Yeah.
But I do have next week's episode title, so hang on to your hats because I'm going to tell you what it is at the end of the episode.
Woo!
But today we're here to discuss Happily Ever After. So this debuted July 17th, 2025. Happily Ever After, directed by Anu Valia, same as last episode, written by Julie Rottenberg, ampersand Elisa Zaritsky. We start by panning down from a chandelier as we see some purple rugged stairway.
So there's a couple things. I found this article from British Vogue that was like 35 questions we have from watching this. And the first one they had was, does Carrie always have this chandelier? And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think that, you know, we have never really seen this angle before.
Yeah.
But I guess we are establishing that she's decorating. There's some interesting themes in this episode, and I guess one of them is that she is moving forward.
Yeah, and what's interesting, so Aiden shows up, and I guess it's a surprise because she seems kind of surprised by what he has. I don't know what their communication is at this point because we started the series with that they don't talk at all for about like 5 years, and now they talk every day through multiple mediums, and now they kind of talk, but they don't tell each other like how long they're staying.
This is one of two moments in this episode alone where there's a surprise show. Has anyone ever surprise shown up at your door? Like, no one surprise shows up at anyone's door in New York, I don't feel.
Well, I did have roommates for a period in time, and I don't think they're listening, but if they are, that's fine, who had friends that lived out of state that often loved to do surprise visits, like on their birthdays. But the thing was, is they were like, surprise, we're staying with you for a week. And I'm like, that works when you tell maybe the other roommates.
Right. Yeah. Surprise show ups are not very common. They're hauling up some bags and he's going to be here for more than 2 days. And yet even just the phrasing of like, I'm going to be here for more than 2 days. I'm like, well, that's a very vague amount of time.
Right. And I think they're saying more than 2 days because it's always been just 2 days. And he's like, now it's going to be more. What I took note of is I wrote, Carrie got a purple rug. Aiden says, why purple? She says, why not purple? And for me, this was a sign that she's not making the apartment all about Aiden anymore. It's not about, this is the apartment that I bought because Aiden's going to be here with me.
Which is very true. And I appreciate and applaud that. There are just parts of it that are very strange to me because we get her saying, like, what's in all these bags? I've only ever seen you wear 3 blue shirts, and it's his guns and furs, which I guess is funny. And he suggests moving her things to one side of the closet. And I get that this is a joke, much in reference to their fight they once had in the closet when he wanted her to move her stuff. I guess I get a little confused with her continual repetition of, like, it's our place. This is your home, but you don't get any space in my closet.
Well, and also, why are we keeping such a secret what he has in those bags?
Yeah, I know. And it's not going to pay off in this episode. And no, maybe it will later.
Yeah.
But it's such a weird thing to bring up and then not give us any payoff.
Do you think it's all the Adderall that he hasn't been giving to Wyatt? No. And
he wanted it the whole time.
Yeah. We have his own closet. But he has his own closet. It's in Shu's room, who he refers to as the cat. Shu has a name.
Yes.
Interesting. British Vogue refers to Shu as C-H-O-U-X, which is a French pastry. And I Googled just to make sure we weren't dumb. No, it's just S-H-O-E. So British Vogue doesn't realize that, like, Shu is called Shu because Shu fit in a shoe.
Right. Yeah, British Vogue has taken it too far.
Yeah, that's way beyond what this actually is.
Yeah, and I hope we don't have any plans for the rest of the day. And she's all his until 7:30, at which point she has a writing session with Duncan.
Yeah, and something that is interesting that you said that I actually was the opposite was I wrote, she really hasn't moved in much. I think they're letting us know she won't be here forever. So it's interesting that you're like, she's moving forward, and I still see an empty space.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with it. It's a strange situation with the house. And we cut to Harry in bed, who's feeling good in spite of his balls.
Yeah, his balls are swollen. He'd like Charlotte to look at them, but Lisa is there. Another surprise visit.
Another surprise visit. Yeah, and she has her giant elephant pendant.
Yeah, his surgery couldn't have gone better. But now Lisa has brought him large macadamias from Hawaii. You brought me big nuts. That's appropriate. And this is the end, just like that thing of let's loudly talk about the thing we're not supposed to talk about so the other person feels weird.
Yeah. And also, I don't know. Once again, the dialogue is just so strange to me. Even Lisa just saying, like, I brought you macadamias from Hawaii. I don't know. Like, the way that it's just an odd, it's an odd conversation. And you're right. And that if someone who had just had prostate surgery said, you brought me giant nuts, how appropriate. I wouldn't be like, what does that mean? I'd be like, oh, your nuts must be really big right now.
Yeah, I would like make a joke about it. And I get why she's saying they're from Hawaii, because that's like the place where the best ones come from. You know, be like me being like, I brought you cherries from Traverse City, Michigan. You know, it's like that sort of thing. I brought you bagels from New York. But yeah, it's this thing that works, that the show does. They did it last episode, obviously, with like, don't talk about Harry's cancer, don't talk about the dog. But now it's overkill. And it almost feels like a crutch that maybe the writers are falling on. I don't know. I could be wrong.
And then we have it's the funny sort of voiceover in the background where you hear Charlotte saying like, oh, walk into the gallery. I'll walk with you when I go to the gallery. This is to get her walking along with Lisa, because now how is the series going? And maybe too well, we find out that Lisa had a sex dream about Marion.
Yeah. And they were on a farm. There were vegetables. And she has a great sex life with her husband. Why is she having those dreams? And I love Charlotte's response that she has them too sometimes, but they're not real because she has short hair.
I love that line. I love that line so much. It's so Charlotte.
Well, what I love about Charlotte, and you see it so often, and I'm kind of gonna, like, I don't really brag about my relationships that often, but watching Charlotte and Harry reminds me a lot of me and Mark in this way that he sits on my couch without, no, but I'm just saying, like, in the way that I could, like, she is just so confident in how much he loves her that, like, this kind of stuff doesn't really stress her out. Like, it's not like a thing for him to be like, can you look at this and make sure it's okay? And I know most people in loving relationships do that. But I'm just saying, I was like, oh, yeah, I think I did find a Harry in some ways.
Yeah, well, they're very at ease with each
other. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
It's a nice relationship, especially as we juxtapose it with where we're going to get to with Carrie and Aiden.
Yeah, and they're walking somewhere on the Upper East Side. I don't know which street they're on, but this is definitely the Upper East Side. And Lisa says she does flirt with him while working. There's an unspoken energy and they both feel it. And Charlotte spins it like, well, you're supposed to have this when you're working together creatively. You're supposed to, like, flirt with each other.
Yeah, or just have a connection, I guess, is what she's trying to say. I think it's kind of nice. I do feel like Charlotte's a good friend as far as, like, she's just trying to make Lisa feel better about the situation.
Yeah. They developed the term flirking.
Which is funny.
We do that, you and I, creatively.
Yeah, we do all the time. And, you know, Charlotte flirts with the cute young guys who hang the art. All of us do.
Yeah. But Charlotte, once again, I think, does it in like a cougar way, and it's like funny. Like, I don't think she could probably go home and even say to Harry, like, those boys were back hanging the art. And Harry's like, leave them alone, Charlotte. You're got, you know what I mean?
It does make me wonder how the boys feel about it.
Right. So I'm saying, like,
if the guys hanging the art are like, ugh.
Like, I don't think anything Charlotte's doing are things that she would be like keeping her up at night. I think everything Charlotte does and everything Harry does are things that they would do in front of each other, is kind of what I'm saying.
And we sort of established that there's a retrospective starting tomorrow night, and Lisa's definitely coming, which gets us a cut to this dude is coming a lot.
Yeah. And now they're placing together an art piece with a condom, which British Vogue also told me they believe is a ripoff of another piece. Do they talk about that on the Writers Room podcast?
They did not talk about it at all. I kind of hoped that they would. So what did British Vogue have to say?
It says, wow, number 11 on British Vogue, right under number 10, which was, why is every character now wearing these super wide belts? Why is Lisa dressed like a circus ringmaster / the Joker?
I did write, her outfit is crazy. Her outfit is so bizarre. And like her pant legs that are different size stripes. I was like, whoa, this outfit is nuts.
Yeah. Wow, they're really ripping off Tracy Emin's My Bed.
Huh.
I don't know about Tracy Emin's My Bed.
I don't either.
But I looked it up on the internet, and it is a 1998 installation by British artist Tracy Emin that features her unmade bed in its disheveled state. It won the Turner, or it was on one of the shortlisted works for the Turner Prize. And it does look very similar.
I figured it must come from somewhere.
Which most Sex and the City things do.
Right. And we sort of get Kai talking about using her master's in art history to place objects on a bed. And Charlotte saying this was, I love the use of this was created in the 80s pre-Lena Dunham, when women were not celebrated for being messy. Because I do feel like it's only because we're in this world that it's the 80s, not pre-Sex and the City. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but I think even in Sex and the City, women weren't praised for being messy like this. Like, there wasn't a Sex and the City character that would have openly been like, oh, don't come to my apartment today, I have garbage everywhere.
Yeah, but I think about like even the Single and Fabulous episode where it was Carrie being messy.
Sure, but she was still like beautiful. I think what they're talking about more is like when you watch Girls and you see like a depression bedroom type of thing, or you see this stuff that's not, you see like the gross part. I get what you're saying.
I just feel like Sex and the City peed so that Lena Dunham could take a dump. That's my poetry.
Beautiful.
And yeah, Kai wants to send a picture to her surgeon parents, and the template says 6 inches, and that looks more like 4, which gets a little penis-sized joke, I guess. And on the bed, Charlotte asks for Kai's hand because her vertigo is back.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that was made up like Epstein Barr. And it was funny in this moment, and I'm not sure when or how much I want to get into it, but, you know, my best friend Vanya had horrible vertigo after having her second child. And I did think about that. I didn't reach out to her. I was like, well, I don't know where she's watching right now. She's caught up. And literally last night got a message from Vanya being like, woo, I have thoughts about this storyline. I was like, well, tell me all about it. So, yeah, I mean, vertigo is what Vanya was saying that she thinks the problem is that people think of vertigo as being dizzy on a cliffside and like being nervous about falling. And that like in reality, like when she had vertigo, she had it for like 2 weeks nonstop to where like she couldn't focus on anything. She had just had a child. She was like literally like breastfeeding while unable to like focus on a spot on the, like her husband had to bring the child to her
because
she could barely move because everything was just spinning constantly to where she thought she was going to have like brain surgery done and like ended up calling an ambulance to take her to the hospital because she didn't know what else to do. And they put her on medication that kind of just made things worse. And it really is like, Charlotte's going to bring up the name of the maneuver, the name of the exercise that she ended up doing. And that is actually what ended up helping her.
Well, and even I only had it once for like a day because it was like a sickness. Like I had a sickness and it triggered it and I could not leave my bed. And like, it's the weirdest feeling. The only way I ever could describe it was when you're really drunk and you're about to go to sleep and you lay down and you're like, ooh, the room is like, that's how it is.
Right.
But you're not having fun.
Right. Yeah. Vanya said it was very much like when you're a little kid and you just spin around until you fall down. But like that was the sensation that she had. So we'll kind of get more into it as we go along. But this is sort of our first reference of Charlotte ever having had vertigo, right?
She mentions like we've seen it before, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But I also didn't remember Aiden's kids.
Yeah. And it's fine. It's just a funny line of like I had it last year. I had to take to my bed. And if Charlotte needs to lie down, there's room next to the used condom, but Charlotte would rather die, which is funny. I do want to remind everyone that's not really cum in that condom, but, you know, whatever. And now Joy is surprisingly at Miranda's
door. Yeah, another surprise.
And she has her emotional baggage with her. She was on her way back from the airport and thought, why not see Miranda for a kiss and a drink? And I did have the thought of, like, you know, she doesn't drink. Right.
That was my first thing.
And I guess we're going to get there. Right. That I didn't realize how much of a conversation they had not had about this.
Yeah. And she brings gin to leave there and asks about tonic. And then it's like, oh, you don't drink. And I feel like they've been on enough dates for this to have not happened.
Yeah. I'm surprised by this, but I go with it for the storyline. And
like, I get it's 2025 and a lot more people, I guess, are not drinking. But as someone who's sober and has been on many dates with different people, I rarely got through the first 20 minutes without someone being like, so why don't you drink?
Right.
So
yeah, it's strange that they haven't had the conversation, but yeah, she's never left gin at a girlfriend's house. And she forgot Miranda doesn't drink. I'm just not drinking now. And I'm not a fan of gin, though the last drink we saw her making was a Negroni.
Maybe it was like with Mezcal.
Maybe. And Carrie wakes up and it's 7:20. That was a good nap.
She has 10 minutes to get herself together for her writing session with Duncan. It's going to take hours.
Yeah, and Carrie suggests he goes to the place down the block that they love, and we get an, oh man, which I feel like if Aiden was a doll where you pulled a string, one of the things he would say would be like, oh man, I feel like he says that a lot.
We find out that he has no replies from Wyatt at all, and he hasn't told Carrie, but the reason why he's here for 2+ days is that when Wyatt got back from Outward Bound, he decided he wanted to live with Kathy. And Carrie asks, why do you think he wanted to live with Kathy? And I'm like, we know. We all know, because Kathy actually knows how to parent this child. But
yeah, I had that same thought of like, yeah, he wants to go live with the parent who's not going to make him paint the barn every day and who's going to listen to how he feels. And so I have to say this really quickly. I have swung fairly wildly on this conversation because the first time that I watched it, I was very anti-Aiden. I was very like, Aiden, like you're being so dramatic. And like, it felt like he was so obviously like trying to get Carrie's attention and like trying to get her to cancel her plans and trying to make it about him. And then I listened to the podcast where they were wildly divided, where some of the writers were very much like, oh, this is Aiden trying to get attention. And I will say Michael Patrick King was very pro Aiden and like, no, he's not trying to get attention. He's just like, he's trying to not make it about him, but he's just bringing it up because it's happening. And then I sort of landed a bit in the middle when I watched it later, when I was like, oh, okay. I don't think he's trying to get attention. I just think that he's being human and caring about his own stuff, which I get is a thing. Like, we all are in our own worlds the most. So I don't know. How did you feel about the way that he brings this up?
I mean, I actually thought Carrie didn't like that Aiden was there, was kind of surprised by it, and was like, it's going to take hours. And then I think once Aiden was saying this thing about Wyatt, it snapped her back into like, oh shit, this is my partner. I need to be there for him.
Yeah, I kind of thought that as well. And even Aiden's thing of like, how did I end up being the bad guy does feel like a poor me thing to say. But I guess that I can see a world in which he really is in his own head thinking that he's done everything he could, even if we don't agree that he's doing a very good job with it.
Yeah, I think Aiden is doing what Aiden thinks is right. Unfortunately, Aiden hasn't decided to see what anyone else thinks could be right.
Yeah. And we're going to end this with Carrie's going to cancel with Duncan. And then we get to Adam and Seema in bed. And this is probably the most sex scene we've had on this series in a very long time.
Yeah, I just said they're having a nice time. And now they're laughing, and now he might be licking her armpits.
Yeah, he has all night, and he goes in for some underarm action. But I was sort of struck by it, that I thought like, oh, we're really going hardcore into this sex scene, which is once upon a time something that this series, or at least Sex and the City, would have done more frequently. But it's interesting how in this iteration, it does stand out. And I like it. Like, I do like that, like, they're clearly having fun. I like that they're laughing. Mm-hmm. I like that they're laughing about laughing. Sometimes he's on the cusp for me of like kind of too dude, like kind of too like, I have a line for everything. But I think that it's just to show how at ease they are with each other as well.
Yes.
And we're in bed with Lisa and Herbert. Did you notice that she sort of magically takes her pants off?
Well, I notice her taking them off under the...
Yes, but she sort of does it like effortlessly. She's like, oh, magically my pants have
come off. It's like they're like those Adidas snap size side yes. pants.
That's 100% what it seems like. Yeah.
Yes, she takes her pants off and is initiating. And this just felt like guilt from the beginning.
Yes, it feels like she probably woke up again having had a sex dream.
Yeah.
And this is what she's going to do to erase it. And it's funny that I didn't even get this watching it. It's in this conversation that I think, oh, okay, this is juxtaposing the last sex scene with an attempt at this sex scene where, like, she wants this to be breezy and like, oh, you're so sexy, but it's just not going to work out because usually these things don't work out.
Yeah, like, she wakes up and get in those pits, but no.
Yeah, because he has to pee.
He has to pee. I'm hot, right?
Yeah.
And then we immediately snap into reality and not her fantasy moment because from the bathroom he yells, can we add TP to the shopping list? And we have to get Gabby's seltzer thing.
Yes. So this is in many ways to me like reality versus fantasy.
Yeah.
That not that there isn't such a thing as an Adam Sima like lovely sex moment, but that, like, in reality it's usually going to be like, oh, I actually have to pee first. Oh, and we need toilet paper and our kid needs something.
Yeah, and also Adam and Sima are brand new.
Which is a constant thing that I think that I like that they show that, like, brand new things can be, and I suppose that's a bit what they're doing with Miranda and Joy as well, that brand new things can be like fun and sexy and you don't have to talk about the reality of it. But you are going to eventually have to get to the reality of
Correct.
It. And now we have the very suggestive opening of a papaya.
Yeah, which reminds me of that scene in the original series where that guy was eating...
with the oysters.
Yeah. Was that the original series?
Yeah,
it was. The guy who does the tongue stuff?
Yes. I can't remember his name. What was his nickname? It wasn't Mr. Mouth. It was Mr... Oh, someone's yelling at it right now, but we'll figure it out later.
Stop
but yeah,
yelling at Mike. He just woke up. Yeah, Marion is sexily opening a papaya, offers some to Lisa, but Lisa's absolutely fine with her everyday kale salad. Do you ever want something different? Nope, never. I'm fine with what I have. And now Marion, now like Lisa's doing the thing where it's like, you could just say like, eh, kale salad's easy. Like, you're making it weird.
I wrote, this is all subtext.
Yeah. And Marion has been thinking that they're always in there talking about Michelle Obama coming to the screening. And would she like to go with him to Naima Ramos's new documentary, who is a real documentarian?
Yes. Naima Ramos Chapman is a writer director of two short films. I wasn't sure if that I don't know if this is meant to be the real person or an illusion of the real person. But either way, I guess this is somewhat based on reality. And Lisa's busy, though Marion never told her when it was. And it's tonight at 7:00. And her new film is being produced by the Obamas.
Yeah, well, absolutely not. She has Charlotte's gallery opening. And then she, like, goes into this thing that is kind of over the top where she's like, I made a promise. I made a vow. Till death do us part. I think I added that part.
I think you added that, but it kind of over the top. Like, this is so... I mean, I get it. We're going for the comedy. But the fact that she says a work thing 5,000 mm-hmm. times and, like... you're choosing a work thing over, and she's sort of, you know, like, not over you. And he's like, no, you're choosing it over Charlotte, which is what is surprising here. And
yeah, I wrote, and she keeps saying work thing.
Yeah. And she didn't get Gabby's pink seltzer, and now she's stress eating baby tomatoes.
Yeah, not a fun thing to stress eat, and also maybe a choking hazard.
Yeah. And Herbert asks why, and she has a perfectly good answer. And I do like that on Herbert's part, where he's like, why is this happening? And she answers, and he goes, yeah, well, that's an answer. Like, that he wanted was the answer that she gives. It's not that serious to anyone else but her.
Right. She could have walked in and just said, you guys, I suck, but I can't go to Charlotte's thing. I forgot your seltzer. My editor just told me that someone who works on the Obama team who wants to meet me is going to be at this thing tonight, and I need to be there. Done.
Yes. She could have walked in and said, I suck, but.
Mike is slowly turning into me.
And she's not even changing clothes. That's how much she doesn't care about looking good. I don't know. It's fine. And Carrie selects the blue shirt number 1 for Aiden to wear to the art opening. And seriously, what's with all the bags? And now we get tube socks. And this, once again, because I guess maybe I'm in my own writer's head that I'm like, well, this is going
to
pay off.
Like, right. This
has
to.
The third time. And it never happens. Like, it just never happens.
Well, maybe it'll happen.
And we get the permission to cross the border and her permission denied. And it's funny how I didn't really think about that until you brought up that there is. Now I am sort of like, oh, does she kind of wish he wasn't there?
I think she does. It's a lot of like, because there, I've been the annoyed girlfriend, and not that it's like, hi, I don't want to see you. But sometimes when you've decided in your mind that you were going to do something or have some time to yourself and someone just shows up,
yeah,
you know, you're not like, you're just mad about it without saying like, hey, can you leave for a minute?
Not be here.
Yeah.
And let's invite Dunkin' Donuts to the opening. And this is definitely him wanting to get to know this guy, but also not take him seriously.
Right. And now Carrie, we already got that Miranda and I guess Charlotte are having a similar storyline. And now we have the Carrie and LTW similarity of, I don't know anything about this man.
Yeah. And I don't know how much she means it versus she's trying to make him feel better versus right. She just doesn't want to have the conversation with
him. She says, we just talk about work. So it's Carrie's version of, it's just a work thing.
And now she tells him to put on blue shirt number 2 because she changed her mind. And at dinner, Adam asks how they're doing on time and he pays the bill, which I do think is interesting.
Yeah, but I think he owns a landscaping business
yes.
that's obviously used by wealthy people. So he probably makes good money.
So I think it's interesting that in this moment, though, he's the younger guy. He's quote unquote the breadwinner. Like she's starting up a business and he has right. an established business. I like that. I think that's an interesting dynamic.
We see a woman putting on deodorant in the booth.
Now, what's the weirdest thing that you've ever seen in a restaurant? Because I will say that I was once at Angelica's Kitchen, RIP. I missed that place. And I was there with my friend Vanya and a girl at the next table started flossing at the table. Flossing.
I've seen that. A lot, actually.
Ugh, don't do that, everyone.
Also, that was one of Mark's favorite restaurants.
Oh, so good.
If you
so
ever good. Ask him what he missed about New York City, he's always like, Angelica Kitchen.
It was great. I can still taste like the Dragon Bowl.
He
it's
has
so good.
The cookbook, so maybe you can.
Oh, nice. I feel like, yeah, I do feel like Vanya's like discovered how to make a lot of this stuff, but I should check out the cookbook.
I'm trying to think of like the weirdest thing I've ever seen because we've had some regulars that we've just been like, oh, that's
like
Joni.
People that take their shoes off. Right. People that take their shoes off at a restaurant.
Yeah, so
like,
it's been like, I could just say like
off.
Everything that this person does
yeah.
is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I mean, something that cracks me up that was one of my favorite things I've ever seen was this very basic looking couple in their 30s. I'm talking like if you asked ChatGPT to draw you an image of like the most boring, basic vanilla couple, this is who would show up. And she gave her husband the most disgusting, filthy, erotic birthday card I've ever seen with like a blank face and handed it to him. And he just had it like open at the table reading it with like this graphic image on the front. So that was...
Yeah, people behave strangely in restaurants.
But yeah.
This is kind of... Yeah, this is to get us to the deodorant conversation.
Which I'm going to say something. From day one, I could tell that Adam probably doesn't wear deodorant.
Yeah, it's not like a galloping shock by any means.
And also, how did she not know?
Yeah, and I will say that he uses the term, I don't believe in it, which always gets me back to like Tina Fey talking about how like she doesn't like Chinese food, but she acknowledges that it exists. Like, what he means is he doesn't believe in using it personally. Not believing in something makes it seem like you don't think that it exists.
Sure, but he uses rock crystals. And yes. I'm telling you as someone who has tried most natural deodorants. Now, I can't use things with baking soda in them. And he even says baking soda free because it causes me to have irritation. So don't try to suggest to me deodorants that are natural that have baking soda that work.
I shan't.
But I'm saying like, I've yet to find one that really works well. There's always that little smell. And for him to be someone who works outside heavily, Seema has smelled him.
Yeah, you would think. And now I don't use antiperspirant, but I do use deodorant. I don't know. And I get that it's a personal thing for everyone. As someone who was just on Fire Island for about a week, and there are definitely some people that could use some deodorant. I get that for some people, like they don't really care or it doesn't bother them, but you are going to smell a certain way.
No, in New York City, there's like many PSAs that are like, I don't care what you do during the year. In the months of July and August, you love aluminum.
Yes.
But yeah. So he says when he was all up in her armpits, he loved it, but tasted aluminum. And this was a very Sex in the City moment for me, where it's like this weird, quote unquote, weird sex thing that he did that brings him back to some unique personal life choice he has. this.
Yes, for sure. This is very much like a, we're going to put an idea out there and talk about it. And he says that she has a complicated relationship with her roll-on, and she says it's not complicated at all. They love each other. And this is when we find out that his last name is Karma, which he finds out when the waiter drops off the check. I get that this is a thing that some people do. I never in a million years ever drop off a check and then say, thank you very much, Mr. Person whose last name is on the credit card.
I worked at a restaurant that had us do that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't necessarily know how it would work now because it involves like gendering the person.
Right.
So a lot of times if there's like multiple cards and I want to be nice, I will often like use the first name. Just to hand them back to the people, like if yes, there's multiple yeah. cards. But yeah, in certain levels, it's like a way to acknowledge and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, Adam Karma, the name was changed by his mother.
And I have questions, but it's fine. Like the mother changed their last name just randomly to Karma to remind them what's important.
Well, maybe
like, I for a second was like, oh, is that her maiden name?
Yeah. Or maybe like they had their father's name and then there was a messy divorce and the mother was like, you shan't carry on that legacy. Yeah, but is Adam maybe. Karma something other than just the name Karma? Am I supposed to know something else?
No, I don't okay, think okay. so. I think it is just that. Okay. Now we cut to a naked woman on a mattress with like a virgin playing. And Seema says this would be her life if she stopped wearing deodorant.
Yeah, Aiden, you wear deodorant, right? I'm like, yes, we know this. Aiden had a lot of speed sticks and they good continuity there.
Yes. Yeah. They checked this one out and Adam knew that he smelled his seventh grade JV coach. And I can't tell if that's an old person joke or not, but Aiden takes it fairly well.
Yeah. And I don't think I think he's just a non-deodorant wearer.
And Adam digs in the garden. He's supposed to smell a little funky, but Seema's in the business world.
Yeah, and then Aiden asks Seema and Adam about Duncan, and they both are just like, he's a meanie.
Yeah, he asks about the cat who lives under Carrie. This once again feels like him trying to be playful and play it off, but he clearly wants the scoop.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the ladies reading about art and happiness. And this did sort of strike me of, it almost feels like the old school Carrie voiceover.
So it's so funny because I didn't catch that. But last night I was like, hey, Mark, I have to watch the last half of Sex and the City and take notes. And this was kind of where we started. And he was like, immediately, he's like, oh, this reminds me a lot of Carrie's old articles. And I'm like, get a life. No, I didn't say that. But I was like, I'm not writing that because that's not relevant. And then, of course, you're like, you know, this actually reminds me a lot of. Yeah, they're reading Happily Ever After by Katinka Soames Henry, who's not a real person.
Not a real person, even if this is based on someone's real art. And
yeah.
Miranda has the note of happiness as an iPad and a cleaning lady. And we get to versions of ourselves as we evolve and look at us now compared to the 80s. And Carrie brings up the belt that she's wearing that she got in 1989 at
Charivari
on 72nd
yeah,
Street. And I did like look this up. Yeah, it was interesting.
It was a chain of clothing stores in New York City. Its first store opened in 1967. This is all from Wikipedia. And had grown to six stores before finally closing in 1998. It was known for championing avant-garde fashion designers. The name translates to uproar in French.
And it does feel like that kind of store that makes me sad doesn't exist anymore, but I guess we just buy our stuff elsewhere now.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of like a smaller version of Barney's, or if you remember Jeffrey, that department store that was also for like cool clothes. That's all.
I bought most of my cool stuff at Hot Topic.
Yeah.
And this gets Miranda to bringing up herself now versus a year ago. And they talked about in the podcast how this was a subject they were both sort of terrified of talking about and sort of scared of doing it the wrong way, but felt like they had to at least try. And I have a lot of thoughts about it, but I'm curious to what your thoughts are on
it. So it's interesting because originally, because Miranda talks about she's not an alcoholic, just alcohol-ish, which I actually like that term. And not that I think that it's a good thing that people should just like play around with. I just thought like that's for those of us who have struggled with using alcohol, I think everyone is like, could this be me? Am I just a little bit? I hear a lot like functioning alcoholic, like people use that term quite a bit. And she thinks the main reason is because she was unhappy in her life and career, and maybe she overcorrected. And I wrote, I have had these thoughts. Now, listen, so I got sober in 2010 for the first time. Yes. And I was super unhappy with my job. I was super unhappy with the way my life was going. A lot of this, the reason I got sober the first time was because I thought there's a lot of stuff wrong with my life right now and I don't know what I can change, but maybe if I stop drinking, that will help. And I knew that I did that too much. And I knew that once I started drinking, I didn't want to stop drinking. And I thought about it all the time. So I stopped drinking. And surprise, when you stop drinking, if you have a problem with alcohol, honestly, if anyone stops drinking, their life will probably get a little bit better. I don't really know how much good it does for people. And I'm not saying that it's something that everyone needs to stop doing. I'm just making that comment. But what I am saying is that my life got better and things were easier to manage. And because of that, I was able to get a different job where my life was getting better. And the problem with having a problem with alcohol is that you do want to. I'm speaking for myself only, and a lot of my friends and I've talked about this. Like, if I'm calling myself an alcoholic, chances are I would love to find a way to drink safely. I drank a lot because I loved drinking. So it's not outrageous for an alcoholic, even after being sober, to be like, you know, I wish I could just sit down and have a drink. That's perfectly normal to think that because that's what you would like to do. The thing is that acceptance of the fact that like you can't do that well. So anyway, very long story short, my life got better. Things got better. I forgot how bad it was and I thought that I had been fixed. So I decided I was going to start drinking again because I only was drinking before because my life was bad. Cut to a month later, back where I was, if not worse. A lot of things happened where I could no longer be on this earth, and I'm not going to talk about them because I don't want my mom to get really scared, but I'm fine, Mom. And I decided to stop drinking again. So the point being is that it's not strange to have these thoughts.
Yeah. And I really, first of all, I want to say that I appreciate that you shared all of that because These are all things that I knew and I wasn't going to be like, Elise, tell us your story. But I'm glad that you did because I do think that it's an important thing for people to hear. And I didn't know where this storyline was going to go. And I was sort of accepting of like wherever they were going to take it. I thought like, oh, maybe we will explore whether or not Miranda can start drinking again. I don't know where that would go. But I think they overall did a good job of addressing it.
Yeah, they did. Because even in this moment where Miranda's trying to convince her friends and saying these things, I did the same exact thing. I like planned it. I was talking to all my friends and I wasn't doing it to be conniving or manipulative. I was doing it because I just wanted to drink again. I missed it.
Right.
And I even had a therapist that I convinced I was fine. I told all my friends I was fine. And once again, I wasn't doing this to try to pull one over on people. I just really was like, I miss drinking and I think I can do this again.
I do think it's interesting in this instance, and we've kind of already touched upon it, so we don't have to get super into it. But I was in this moment like, oh, how have you been with this person this long without them knowing that like you made the effort to stop 100%. Drinking for a reason?
Yeah, I mean, the point of all this is we learned that Miranda hasn't told Joy that she identifies as an alcoholic.
Because discussing it would be a buzzkill.
Literally.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, the language is very interesting and very specific. And this is where Charlotte's vertigo is back. And this is where she brings up the Epley maneuver, which is what Vanya eventually discovered as well that helped her. And she said that it took her like 10 times for it to actually help. But it is what eventually got her to get rid of the vertigo.
Well, and the last thing I'm going to say about Miranda in this situation is it will be a buzzkill. I will say after I went out drinking again and I came back, I was so certain that I am someone who cannot drink safely that it was more important to me to just tell people, no, this is something I can't do, than it was to try to save face and not be a buzzkill.
And I suppose this would be maybe too difficult of a thing for the storyline to have done. But there was part of me that thought, I know from your mouth that like relapse is part of recovery sometimes.
Yeah.
That like, and I did wonder like, oh, maybe we need to see Miranda.
Yeah, and it also, I want to say this too for people listening, like it doesn't have to be part of your story, but it is for some people. And that's like,
right.
And the thing that I'm noticing in Miranda, which was the same thing that I noticed in myself, is we don't see Miranda practicing any sort of recovery at all. And I'm not saying that you have to go to 12-step meetings. There's a lot of ways to get and stay sober. But for me, that was my experience too, is I'm like, oh, I got this. I don't need to practice these tools that I've learned along the way anymore. And because of that, they do say in the rooms of like that, like, oh, we have this built-in forgetter, this part of our brain that often says to us, like, you don't have a problem, which is 100% true. I know. So I think whatever tools Miranda's learned in whichever way she got sober, she probably just stopped using them.
Yeah.
Or maybe hasn't, as we see.
And now we have Mark Kasabian chatting with Gia and Giuseppe. And I do know that part of this was just because they wanted to get
Patty and Victor together.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Two Broadway legends. And we have Art and TikTok and Gia asking if he has any of the queer masters like Haring or Basquiat.
She wants a large scale queer master.
Yes. And he's clearly excited for the cell.
Yeah.
And Giuseppe has a small apartment and mostly sleeps at Anthony's.
Yeah. And then she refers to Anthony as small and old. Rude.
And, you know, it did occur to me that in our sort of moving through last week, we didn't really talk about Patty LuPone all that much. And maybe part of that's because we just assume that everyone knows who she is. But for those that don't know, I mean, Patty LuPone is kind of a legend of stage and screen.
She is a legend. We kind of didn't talk about her because we felt like we had talked about her enough because she had been in the press. But yes, Patty LuPone is a Broadway legend, probably most notably known for, I mean, so many things, but Evita.
Yeah, that would be, I think, her, that was her big early thing, was that she was the original Evita on Broadway.
Evita, she was the original Fantine in Les Mis in London.
Yes.
She was the original, supposed to be the original Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard. Anything Goes. There was a great revival at Lincoln Center that she played.
Yeah, I mean, she was been in a revival Sweeney of Sweeney Todd.
Playing the tuba.
Yes.
She was in Company in the most recent revival. She was in War Paint with Christine Ebersole. I'm not going to name her whole catalog.
Yeah, she has three Tony Awards, one for Evita, one for that Company that you just talked about, and then one for a revival of Gypsy.
Oh, yeah, of course. I forgot about the Gypsy revival.
And then she was in the TV show Life Goes On. That was the name of her TV show, right? That was probably her her longest running mainstream
thing. She went to
thing.
Juilliard.
Sort of notoriously hated it.
Yeah. If you read her book, you'll get all the gossip. She's not a fan of Andrew Lloyd Webber.
No, my favorite Patty LuPone story is that she had a contest of like, name my autobiography. And then her autobiography is named, I think it's named Patty, a Memoir.
I think it's called Patty LuPone, a Memoir.
Yeah.
My favorite Patty LuPone story is our friend Claire made her box up her own food at the end of her meal. Just like haphazardly threw a to-go box on the table. Now, Claire was, as we say in the restaurant industry, in the weeds, and this was the middle of COVID. And to Patty's credit, she was not rude at all.
Nope, didn't complain. Packed her own stuff up. Patty can pack her own food.
Yeah, she was fine about it. So anyway, Patty's talking to Victor. We find out Anthony, or she says Anthony's small and old. She asks Mark to show her something substantial that will last, which is obviously just a dig at the relationship between Giuseppe and Anthony. And then Anthony comes up and Giuseppe tells him to do something for her, get to know her, just them, to cook for her. And Anthony seems all in about this.
Yeah, until he says that he should do it alone.
Right.
Giuseppe's like, just the two of you. Now, there is a moment in this that I did not catch, that I only got because of the Writer's Room podcast. And in fact, one of the writers in the writer's room was like, oh, I didn't even catch that. And that is fairly deep cut, that Victor Garber was the original Anthony in Sweeney Todd on Broadway. And he sings a song that goes, I feel you, Joanna. I hear you, Joanna. Uh-huh. And there's a line of this where he says, I hear you, Gianna.
I'm surprised I didn't catch that.
I didn't catch it. I mean, I love Sweeney Todd. It's one of my favorite works of art. And I did not, didn't even occur to me. But that is what that line is in there for, is a sort of a nod to Sweeney Todd.
This is an aside that I think is funny. So when I moved to New York City, it was when the swine flu was happening. And I got very sick. I don't necessarily think it was the swine flu, but my roommate called me Swiney Todd. And she would be like, attend the tale of Swiney Todd. You poop your pants and you shit all day. I'm like, what is happening? But anytime it's hard for me to call it Sweeney Todd. I always just think of it as Swiney Todd.
Swiney Todd. And now we have Joy wondering about the art and the artist thinking this is better than working at Starbucks. She does sort of an American accent here. Is that kind of the joke in there?
I'm not sure. She has to go to the bathroom. And once again, she's like, I have to go to the bathroom. There's a lot of people here. Alcoholic girlfriend, hold this for me. And then Charlotte awakes from a vertigo stupor to stop Miranda from drinking.
What I like the most is that we hear her before we see her. Like, you hear like, Miranda, no, no, Miranda.
This reminds me of Charlotte, like, screaming at Mr. Big for not marrying Carrie. I don't know. Yeah,
it's good. I also do like the really quick moment as Joy walks by Seema and Adam and kind of like waves hello. I do like that we do have kind of like worlds interacting here a bit.
Yes, unlike the birthday party where no one talked to each other.
Where no one talked to anybody.
Miranda, yeah, so she goes to stop Miranda, and of course what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, I wrote the inevitable happens.
She lands on the arch. She gets semen condom on her.
Which is not semen. Once again, I feel like we're losing touch with the fact that they didn't fill that condom with semen.
Well, I know, but it's like what it's supposed to be.
I know, but I'm just saying the reaction of all this feels very much like they've all forgotten.
Oh.
And now we're at the theater and with some very obvious voiceover in the background of like,
yeah, sexy jazz
so
and
good
horns
together. Yeah.
Yeah. And Lisa just has to leave. She has kids and they need seltzer.
Well, he does. I mean, what do we think happened there? Like in the cut, it looks very much like he presses his leg to hers.
Sure. But also, is he just a man who has no spatial awareness?
Which is probably what it is. Like, that probably is the honest answer. And now she's buying Spindrift. Is that what pink soda was? Because when she asked for pink soda, I wondered.
Yeah, me too. I think it's the pink Spindrift, which would be grapefruit, which if you're on an SSRI, you should not have.
I'm not on one, so I can drink it. It is my favorite.
Mike, you should be on one. We'll talk about that later.
I probably should. And this has gone past flirking. It's now flirting, and Charlotte is home and isn't sure what that means. And I think that part of my friend's annoyance with this is that like they're playing Vertigo for comedy, which I think is just a difficult. In reality, there's nothing funny about this. Like, I don't think that you can have Vertigo and like, I understand what they're trying to do. So I give it some space, having her stumble
in the house. Yeah, right. It was very reminiscent of that episode where she stumbled in the house after drinking with the girls. 100%.
That's all that I could think of. Yeah.
Something you don't know, but I do, is that LTW is shopping at Agata and Valentina, which is a Italian grocery store on 79th and 1st.
Do they sell gluten-free ladyfingers?
Is that what she's getting?
That's what she's buying. I was like, thanks. Are you picking this up for me?
So then that answers the question for me, because I was wondering, is she at the Agata and Valentina, which is on 79th and 1st? Or is she on the one across the street, which is the gluten-free Agata and Valentina? So she's definitely at the gluten-free one, which is kind of what
whenever I walk by, I'm like, I need to go in there, and I never do.
Yeah, which I kind of was assuming that's what it was, because I could see where the reason I clocked it was the price tags. I know those.
Sure. I know those price tags.
Mm-hmm. His leg touched my leg. I'm not at work. Played with fire. I feel like the worst wife and mother. Hold on. Oh my God, it's him. He's calling me. What should I do?
I do like that she's like, I don't know what to do. And Charlotte's like, answer the phone. Like,
you didn't do anything wrong.
I love you and good luck.
Okay, bye.
Hi, Marion. It's not a good time.
Lisa, I'm with Terry Kirk right now from Higher Ground. She's disappointed you had to leave, but I'm going to hand the phone to her now.
Lisa, hello, Terry Kirk.
Marion has been talking my ear off about your new project.
Tell me about it.
Hi, Terry. Yes, it's a 10-part docuseries about Black women trailblazers who made historic firsts.
And this is Lana. I feel like I'm going to say her name wrong, but it's like
Del Rey.
Lana Del Rey, yes. S-H-U-P-B-A-C-H.
Shupak.
Sure. And she spent a year as the senior producer at the Today Show, which I just think is interesting.
Is she an actress or is she a producer? Or is this like an ex?
I think that she's an actress now.
Okay.
I think that she spent a year working at the Today Show and now she has some more acting credits. So it feels like that was a thing that she did for a minute. But I enjoyed her. The very little bit we get of her, I really enjoy her.
Me too. But that's because you know how Sex and the City world does that, where they get real people to
right.
do these things.
Yeah.
Like when they got Ryan Serhant, they're like, we're going to get an actual real estate person. We're going to get someone who's actually a producer.
Right.
You know, who maybe did actually work with the Obamas. So this is an interesting kind of like trash cans on different lids moment, where if you're like someone in the addiction world, you would kind of understand. I'm at Miranda's house.
Yeah, go for it. Because I didn't write a ton because I had really strong mixed feelings about
it. So in the addiction world, they often talk about having 4 trash cans and 3 lids, right? So if you're kind of okay in one area of your life, oh no, something's popping up, right? So it's like I think what's happened here is Miranda is a little bit triggered by what's been going on with the joy stuff and the alcohol stuff. So we see her going back to one of her other guilty pleasures, which was watching Bye Bingo. So now she's watching Bye Bingo. We also see her working, trying to manage both. She opens her cupboard to maybe grab some snacks, which, good choice. She has Milano's and Sausalito's. Love a Milano. My friend Steven and I often talk about how many tiers we could eat, because each, like, a package of Milano's has like these different tiers and these tissue paper things. Sometimes days he can do all tiers. I'm usually like a one tier person. I'm thinking go for the Milano's because we see the gin on top, right? Okay, a Sausalito will do. And then she eats that, and then she looks back at the cabinet. And I actually, when I decided to start drinking again, I had this exact, so as like outrageous as we think this looks, this was actually almost the exact same trajectory that I took. I had a roommate at the time who was an alcohol rep. So he had a ton of alcohol in our apartment that was like random stuff that no one would actually really drink. And I never paid it any mind. And then one day I had already been like, I'm probably going to drink again. And that idea of will I, won't I was taking over my brain so much that I took this espresso vodka that he had, which now everyone loved, but in 2010, it wasn't that big of a deal. And I poured, when I tell you, the tiniest amount, not enough that would get me drunk, but enough that would be like, I made a conscious decision to drink, and I just drank it. Because I was like, well, now I've done it and it's all over anyway, so I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, and I wondered where they were going to take this, because they start with her sort of smelling it, and then she does pour a little bit, and then she pours that down the sink and puts the gin back, and then eventually grabs it and throws it down the trash chute.
Which she shouldn't do. That's actually very dangerous.
Yeah, a few things about that I'm not wild about, but I get that it's a desperate moment for her. And I get that they, because they say they're going for the comedy, that apparently like the sound mix was too realistic at first and they kind of had them go back and redo it so it would be funny, which I don't know that I think it's funny, but
okay. It could kill someone, actually.
It could kill someone. And now you have like shards of broken glass at the bottom of this trash chute. So I'm not wild about it.
Yeah.
Also, like, that wasn't your gin. But I get that if you had to get out of the apartment, I get that you're doing what you got to do. But maybe pour the gin down the sink and just recycle the bottle.
On a serious note, if you are someone struggling with drinking who is in this same situation, if I were an older, sober person helping you through your sobriety, what I would suggest is you call someone, call a friend you trust, call a sober friend. You know, if you're in a program that honors the 12 steps and you have a sponsor, call that person and just say, I need to get this out of the house. And what I would do, I don't care, I've answered the phone at 4 a.m, is I would stay on the phone with you until I heard you dump that down the drain and then recycle the bottle. Just get it out, like get it out of your house, but don't do it in a way that could kill someone else.
Right. And then we get to the final scene, which is barely even a scene. It's just Carrie writing. And after what seemed like forever, I didn't write the whole thing. She writes about a magnificent red bird appearing in a garden and holding your breath and remaining very still so it won't fly away again. And two things. It feels like a scene is missing. Mm-hmm. It feels like between the Miranda gin scene and this writing scene, there's a scene missing. And I don't know what that scene would be, but it feels like we're missing a scene between Aiden and Carrie. And maybe it's coming in the next episode. But I remember thinking like, oh, this is over. First of all, this episode was shorter than most episodes are.
It was.
And it just felt like we got to this weird voiceover of her talking about being afraid of something wonderful disappearing. And I'm gonna maybe go too far and say, I don't think in a healthy relationship you're worried that it's gonna suddenly disappear.
Well, two things. This song is called Take a Bite by Bee-Ba-Doo-Bee, which I like her name. Her real name is Beatrice. But the lyrics are, sure, it's easy to talk, but I take it and I eat it with a cherry on top, indulging in situations that are fabricated imaginations, moments that cease to exist. I think I might take a bite. I think I might want to do it all over again. So, I don't know. I feel like there's a reason they choose these songs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was a strange episode that once again just felt like it was a lot about not talking about things. It was a lot about like not dealing with a situation, which sometimes feels a little bit of a placeholder for a next episode. So I guess I'm curious what will happen next week. And I guess I just couldn't help but wonder how they've been, how Joy and Miranda have never talked about her sobriety with any seriousness.
I couldn't help but wonder what's in Aiden's bag.
Yeah. Weird that there's no payoff there. And all that I can imagine, my only answer to that would be, I wonder if he just threw things in a bag that like almost he doesn't know what's in there because he just had a moment. Because this also brings it back to it being about him, that suddenly he was in a house where no one else was. And it was like, I don't have to do this. I have a life in New York. And it's like, okay, well, you have a life in New York because she's held this space for you. I don't know. It all feels very strange. And I've never more so been uncertain as to where I feel like this storyline should go.
Or maybe he's bought all of Duncan's books and read all of them. And then he's going to throw them at Duncan in a rage.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very odd. I guess we'll find out a little bit more next week in the episode Present Tense.
Ooh, I think it's going to get tense.
I think so as well.
All right.
So we'll be back next week. All right. Bye.
Bye.
For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation. You can listen to my other podcast, Mike and Vanya Can't Not, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link, or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. As always, take care of yourself, and let's take care of each other. Today, we're here to discuss happily. See, I'm not warmed up. I didn't write down what day this debuted. What day did this come out?
On Thursday.
The 20th. So that was the 18th
yes.
or the 17th?
It was my birthday, Mike.
Wait, who are you?
This came out on July 17th, 1985 at 11:48 a.m. And by this, I mean me.
What is it, sun sign?
I am a Cancer sun, Cancer moon, Virgo rising. I present very confident and like I know what's going on. But inside, I'm just sad.
That's very funny. I like it.
Sorry. Spectrum's calling me and telling me.
Spectrum, we know the internet's up.
I know, but wait, hold on. Stop.
She's just poking me in the face with her thumb now.
Hold on. I want to see what the text said because it said that it's not working. An outage is affecting your area, but you're online. I know. You may have intermittent service until the issue is fully resolved. Well, right now we're okay.
Right now we're fine. We cannot tell the future. We are not seers.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of are.
Okay.
And Carrie selects the blue shirt number one for Aiden to wear.